This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, it is hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in. Hope you're having a great day. Look at Jeff's background there on the fan cam, 105.3thefan.com. And on Twitch, the Dallas Fan Cam, the beautiful all-new G-Bag Nation flag that you can order, 105thefan.com/flagtober, with proceeds going to the Sons of the Flag, benefits burn survivors in the military and first responders. So, looks great, Jeff. Good-looking
Thank
background
you.
There over there at Studio Day, Heffrey.
Thank you. That's hand-knitted. I made this one myself. I saw a picture of one online, and I decided I was going to make one. So, I got all the different colored yarn. And,
it's beautiful.
And I sewed it.
Yep. Well done.
Thank
you. A perfect replica.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Of course, yes. I got one hanging here in Studio G, Sunnyvale, Texas. There's Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here. And, yeah, we'll have Jerry Jones audio, the full stuff, coming up at 3 o'clock. Just shut up and let me answer it. Has gone viral. It's just about on every news service you can find now, whether it's sports or news. Everybody just loves you. I think, you know, it's kind of what happens when you lose. So it's what you heard. Guys get cranky. But salute to Jerry for coming on, you know. Season's going a little flat. It's like, hey, hold my Miller Lite and watch this, man. I'm about to go on with Sean and RJ, make some headlines.
He kind of said sorry at the end.
He wasn't sort being his most tactful. He admitted, you know. It's tough times. You're losing. People are stressed out. People are a little irritable. I thought listening back to it, Sean was in the right when Jerry said, but seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? I thought Sean was like, okay, he wants me to answer this question, so I'm going to answer this question, you know, and then boom.
Shut up.
Shut up and let me answer it. No.
Rich man with a little bit of money. Pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we got a short version here. If you hadn't heard it yet, here's the moment that got everybody's attention this morning.
Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. Well, just shut up and let me answer it.
Shut up and let me answer it. And yeah, he admitted there towards the end that, you know, maybe he came off a little bit untactful. Is that the right version of that word? But hey, that's what happens when you're a football team struggling at 2-5 with not a great chance to improve. I would say if you're Jerry Jones, you got to kick back right now, bro, because it's not going to get better over the next 9 weeks. You know, I guess it's good that you're not complacent at a time like this, and there's still a pulse. You have emotion, you have passion, and you want to get it fixed, but. You know, holy cow. I think I would have had that moment like after week two or week three. I don't think I'd be irritable right now. I'd be looking for something else to pass the time with until we get to draft time. This team's bad.
I tell you what, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like Jerry before has been willing to take a lot of blame for when things aren't going well. But today, I just think, look, like everybody else, they're bad, so he's mad, and he's sad, and no one's glad. Because I think it was Sean who was like, you know, as the GM, maybe it was RJ, how much blame do you take for kind of where this thing is? And he's like, as much as I took when we were awesome. It's like, okay, man, hold on. Let's chill out a little bit, okay?
Yeah. But he's always kind of been working at grinding his reputation and looking important and being the guy. I mean, that kind of defines his tenure, his legacy.
Yeah, he should have handled that a lot better, though, as the general manager. You know, again, and if you do want the credit at the end of the day, you also have to take the blame, you know. Yeah. And I understand. I mean, I've been in that room with him before. I understand interrupting him because you get that. That's what you get in that room when you sit with him and something isn't going right. You know, you do get that. Maybe we're now seeing that as part of what we're getting on the radio. But yeah, I was talking about Steven and Jerry and guys getting pissed off. That's what you get. You interrupt Jerry, you're going to meet that. And so, yeah, but he needs to handle that a little bit better. He needs to say, listen, we understand where we are injury-wise. We just lost our quarterback. You know, there are things I'm trying to go through right now. Are we looking at waiver wires? Yeah. Are we looking at trades? Yeah. you know, try and present some type of thing as, why am I trying to make this better? You know, I'm going to be the reason why this is going to be better, instead of going after Sean. I've been where Sean is, because you can interrupt him because of his cadence, the way he talks. Yeah. You know, you can jump in there and say, but Jerry, let me finish. Let me finish there, Brian. And you're like going, okay. And you don't say something, you know, you don't say anything else for the rest of the day. But, you know, to Sean and them's credit, we're asking the questions, but, you know, you've got to understand too where we're coming from. You know, we're pissed too, because we're having to ask you why your team is so damn bad. You know, work with us a little bit here. I think that needs to be the thing going forward.
It's no picnic for us to have to come after you. We'd much rather be high-fiving and backslapping, talking about how amazing of a job you did.
Trust me, I was over there at DallasCowboys.com. When they won 11 straight games, it was the easiest job I had. You know, everybody's, oh, hey, we're doing Zeke videos of him eating cereal, and you know, it's the funnest thing in the world to deal with.
Yeah.
But when you have those good times, you also, and you go through the bad, be consistent about that. You know?
Do you think he wished he would have handled it differently, or does he want a redo on that, or do you think he's like, right on, gave him hell and
no, he
headlines?
You know what, when you hang up the phone, you're like, man, why did I do that? Because people are looking at you for answers. You know, as they say, the buck stops at your desk. You like to tell everybody you're the guy that the socks and the jocks and everything else. You like to do that. You pound your chest about that, you know. And I feel like, though, there's times where you're really, really good doing this. And I think the last couple of weeks, you know, I think him and Steven both have been a little bit, you know. I mean, we're looking for answers. It's not easy asking these questions. We're just trying to figure out maybe what you can get. Can you give us a little insight where you might be going with this, you know? Mm-hmm. Or we'll continue to have to ask the questions like, is it the roster? Is it the coaches? Do you have a problem in the locker room, you know?
Yeah. I mean, these are fair questions for a struggling team. This is what you sign up for when you're running a team.
And exactly. And if you're the 6-0 Pittsburgh Steelers and you're answering questions, you know, good and bad, you know, so.
What do you think he's going for, Jeff? I think he's trying to let everybody know, I have my players and my coaches back. I think he's trying to come out tough and kind of fight off the hordes for them. What do you think he's going for?
I really don't know. I just think that he's super frustrated, and he's trying to find a way, because he knows that talking every week is good publicity for the Cowboys. So he knows he's got to do it, but I don't feel like he's coming in with the same plan that he normally does when things are going well, where you can be like, hey, Jerry, what'd you think of Van Der Esch? And he'd be like, well, I got to tell you that Zeke, I think, running to his right is amazing. And it's like, all right, so Jerry had his little talking points today, and I don't think he has those now. So he's just kind of trying to get by and not have the team get attacked too bad. So, yeah, in some ways he's probably taking bullets for people, or trying to. Because I don't know, like, the real thing you could say is, look, you can question literally everything. It looks like we didn't have a very good offseason. We're hurt, and anybody would be in trouble with how hurt we are, and that's bad. And I don't know how it gets better. That's not a fun thing to say for the owner and GM less than halfway through a season. You can't just be like, well, this isn't going to end well, guys. So instead, you get upset when people are talking about the reasons it's probably not going to end well.
Indeed. All right, it is the G-Pack Nation here on The Fan, and you could listen to that whole thing in its entirety on the Radio.com app. It's Tuesdays at 8:30, Fridays at 10:30. Jerry Jones joins 105.3 The Fan. Now, speaking of him joining us twice a week, I think the other thing you heard in there, and I did that interview for 6 years. If you want to be tough and have a give and take more with Jerry and Steven and a tit for tat, that's what you get with just a little bit of pressure. That wasn't a lot of pressure Sean put on him. But that could maybe be one more time before the owner would say, maybe I'll do my show elsewhere on another station, or maybe I'll do my show in a different time slot, or I don't want to do my show with this talk show host anymore. So it's also kind of a way for Jerry to control and get the dogs off of him a little bit, because he knows when he raises his hackles up, the message that he's sending to people trying to do that job and interview him. And it's like, man, just a little bit more. And, you know, I think it is his right. Let me also say on that note, it is the Jerry Jones show on 105.3 The Fan, okay? So that's from his perspective. From our perspective, it's not the same as a standard one-off interview or an interview that you're granted with a guy under fire who's coming in. It's a little bit more like a co-host, Like, hey, we're all co-hosts, we're all buddies. We give each other an amount of respect and deference when it comes to things. And hey, if you're having a bad day, I'm just going to come over here and talk about something else, or I'm going to wait for the time when you do want to talk about it. Or, you know, but it's a little bit more of, it's the Jerry Jones show than here's Jerry Jones up on a podium getting questions rattled at him. But I think you maybe got a little bit of sympathy for why we're not always trying to choke them out. You do it once a week for 17 weeks plus playoffs, and there's got to be a rhythm and amount of respect to it, because heck, you know, it's kind of a beat down for him at times too, when you're going through a horrible season and now you're going to go on the radio for 20 minutes and have guys just pepper questions at you, questioning every single thing about your business and your organization. So it's tough, man.
Well, but you also have to be, from his side of it though, you have to be the guy that gives, like I say, the avenue for the questions. You know, yeah. maybe
signed up for it.
Yeah, maybe you give an answer that allows Sean or RJ or one of us to ask another question that leads to another answer. You know, and then maybe it's not as combative. I don't think that's combative at all. I think when you sign up for this job, you know, and you have this interaction with the media, that is your job. That is your job, to go back and forth. And the best that you can do to help them with their job, they will find ways to help you with your job, you know. Yeah. And being a hard ass at this thing ain't getting it done, because now people are going for blood. Now it's like, okay, we could draw him off sides, you know, and or draw anybody off sides.
And
this.
That's what Sean said after that interview, talking about listening to him with KNC last Friday. He's like, well, if you're going to come after us, we got to be able to come back after you a little bit. And I think that's going to be the result if Jerry keeps on being that aggressive, or, you know, there's only so much you're going to defer, show respect, be like, okay, your team's sorry, so apparently you're in a bad mood. And at some point, you know, the hitbacks will happen. But 98 times out of 100, Jerry is, I'd say, to use his word, graceful. He's very, you know, at times, and he does go out of his way to be considerate. And I think that's what he attempted to do there at the end of that interview. The most interesting thing right now for the Cowboys is just the possibility of having a top three or top five pick, and how bad this football team could be. I misheard you there during crosstalk.
I thought
you said Philly and the Cowboys were going to be playing for the division.
Yeah, I said the football team.
If
I'd have said their other name, you probably would have been, oh, okay, I understand what's going on.
That would have got my attention.
That would have got your attention, absolutely,
I think that's usually Jeff that steps in there.
He does.
Putting the Cowboys on a very legitimate decision on the quarterback, and that's one that the Jones family is going to answer a ton of questions about. Maybe starting pretty soon, because I can't imagine them going out and winning more than a couple of games. And 4-12 in 2015 was good enough for the fourth overall pick. So I'm expecting somewhere around 2, 3, 4, 5 to be the pick. And for us, to very much be in a conversation mode of, do you want the Cowboys to take one of these players, or do you want to trade Dak pick a player and build around Dak? It's just fascinating right now that all these things have come together. And with Dak not doing a deal now, a long-term deal, it very much leaves it open for conversation that he may have very well played his last game with the Cowboys.
Yeah, you've got to show me some momentum once the league year ends. You know, when it's over, and it's when we get to that March date, whatever it is, whenever they say it is, if, you know, they come out of the gate and it's like, okay, we're making progress with Dak, then, you know, maybe now you're kind of thinking about some different things. But if it continues on and on and on and on, and we're going through the drafting process or getting ready for a draft, now I'm in the mode of like, listen, this is not going to get done long term. I've got to protect myself here, you know, going forward. And so I just think it's going to be very key for all of us to see if there's momentum right out of the gate. If not, I think all bets are off for you as far as signing him and then looking at now having to draft a quarterback.
Would you feel pressure as Todd France or Dak Prescott to go get a deal done? Would you feel more so than pre-injury? I would. I think betting on yourself and the durability angle was pretty significant leverage in it. I just don't know how an agent thinks.
That could go either way, right? One, you're like, all right, we got hurt, and, you know, are we going to be the exact same, or are we going to be even better? But the other side, for me at least to this point, would be, hey, how'd you like those games without my guy? Is that fun for you?
Right.
Yeah.
You enjoying that?
Yeah, it could go either way for sure.
You guys are pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is official, by the way. Dez Bryant has joined the Ravens practice squad, and now we'll see if he can revive his career and revive something awesome for Cowboys fans to watch down the stretch.
Let's go.
Throw up the X-88. Monday Night Football last night, Bears and Rams, Los Angeles dominant. They win 24-10. The Bears defense mustered more offense than the Bears offense. So the Bears now are 5-2 and sliding behind Green Bay, and Nick Foles threw two costly picks. So I don't know if I've ever seen a 5-2 team with as much question marks around it and as much doubt around it right now as the Chicago Bears. But the Rams defense is really nice, guys. It's amazing how they've kind of redefined who they are and what their strengths are there with Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald, Troy Hill, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, there's like, a half dozen really good defensive players on that football team, and that might be enough in this NFL to be a major factor, even though their offense isn't outstanding yet.
Yeah, and they changed defensive coordinators, too. I mean, that was a staff. I mean, he got rid of his offensive coordinator, his defensive coordinator, and then special teams guy as well, man. So, tip of the cap for them, the way they're playing. Defensively, that I felt like that was going to kind of maybe be a little bit of a liability for them, but not at all. They're firing on all cylinders when it comes to that.
And it is a World Series Tuesday in DFW. Dodgers lead 3-2. Gonsolin and Snell on the hill tonight out there in Arlington. The Globe has become a Dodger Stadium of Texas for them. They've rallied around it. Apparently the flights or the enthusiasm out of L.A. is cheaper. I don't know what's going on. Tampa's not coming over. Rays don't have fans. Yeah,
even the World Series, I don't think they have fans.
The ones that were here gave up their tickets to Dodger fans so they can go back home.
Yeah, the games are too late for them or something.
We can't handle this. We just got to go. Yeah.
But the Dodgers are essentially getting to play home games, and that's, likely going to push them over the top. It's 3-2, and Tampa's been, half decent so far. We'll have baseball stuff and a hard look at Game 6 coming up at 3:40 right here on DFW Sports Station. When we come back, we got the G-Bag of the Day, 2:30. The Cowboys player who's more cuttable than most people think is next in the nation. Okay, the player on the Cowboys that is more cuttable than a lot of people think segment is brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Rubin and Associates, 1-800-LAWYERS. Yeah, Jalen Smith's a guy a lot of people root for, hasn't been able to repeat his performance from the Giants game. Remember that a couple of weeks ago? It was fantastic. Gave him credit for it. Hoped it would continue on, and it hasn't. He also had a pretty good 2018, so there's been some games during Jalen Smith's career that's made you wonder, is he going to continue to get better and better and better and more consistent? And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but we've reached a point now where a lot of people are ready to move on, and we don't think it's going to be awesome. You there?
I don't love what they have at linebacker at all. I think you still have flashes from Vander Esch, and you get that from Jalen too, but I think some of the things that he struggles at are just too consistent. Jalen's got two things that I think are big problems for him. Well, three. One is the eye candy. If you move a guy around, Jalen is not going to be watching what he's supposed to be watching, and he's going to blow an assignment. Jalen in coverage, I was rewatching the game this morning, 3rd and 6. They motion a running back out, and they see that it's man coverage, and they know they're going right at Jalen, 1st down, and tackling in space. So, there's enough things that because of how big that deal is, I would want out of it, and I'd figure out who was going to take that spot. I would want out of it.
Okay, so an important part of when you get out of it is, do you feel like he makes up for those weaknesses with enough good stuff that he's at least an average player or close to replacement level starter?
Wow.
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
Because would Jalen Smith start on your average football team? I'll say it's borderline.
Yeah, I've seen plays where all of a sudden the foot fires and he's in position, knocking guys out of bounds at the goal line there, Deshaun Watson right before half in Houston. And, there's capable plays. You see the screen plays he was dealing with the Giants this year.
Yeah, it was nice.
The flashes is what scares you, and that's when scouts get in trouble evaluating the flashes because it's really not what the player is.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of look at it. And I blame it more on the coaching staff with him than I do Jalen, because I think that he has to be put in positions so he doesn't get fooled. You know, you can't put him where he has to play man coverage. You know, you need to figure out things for him. But, man, he guesses because he's not sure when that foot's going to fire. You know, okay. He's in a hell right now trying to figure all that out.
I think that's interesting to consider, though, in this evaluation, because if you had coaches that just put him in position to succeed with the things he can do, maybe there is value.
Maybe, now, yeah.
But other than that, there's a lot of teams that might be like, holy cow, that's the salary we need to get out of it now. Sure. Contractually for 2021, it's a wash to have him on the team. If you have him or not, it's essentially the same. The real value would be getting to 22 with your hands completely washed of the player. Now, it's about 9.6 if you keep him, 9.2 if you cut him for 2021. So you would save $400,000 against the cap. But that's why I wanted to know if he's still an average player despite his shortcomings, because if he is, maybe you'd want to let him play football for you another year and then take what would be a $5 million hit going into 2022 to let him go. Or maybe just let him play out the contract if you like him enough. But I can't imagine any real football coaches wanting to be committed to him beyond this year.
Yeah, I think part of the Cowboys' problem right now, and maybe this happens, well, I know it happens on other teams too, where wherever you invest your money and your high draft picks, you get a lot of chances. So if Vander Esch doesn't play well, if Jalen Smith doesn't play well, would I like to see a level of accountability and a curiosity of, what's Francis Bernard look like? But a coach or a GM is going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? An undrafted free agent playing for my first rounder or playing for my $10 million player? What are you talking about? And then as a coach, you have to have the authority to say back to the GM or the owner, hey, the guy with all the money, he ain't getting it done. So I got to see what else we have. And if we don't have anything better, he'll go back in. But I don't think there's that level of accountability on the Cowboys. There's a real comfort zone if you were picked high or if you have a bunch of money that you ain't coming off the field.
Yeah, but the GM needs to see that too, that linebacker's a liability.
Well, the GM loves him.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're honest with yourself, the question, if you love him, then you're like, okay, why do I see him making plays sometimes and the other times he's getting embarrassed? That's the question I would ask the coaching staff.
Yeah. Well, I hope he's paying attention. You know, I think if the GM was Belichick, he never would have been drafted. He never would have been signed, you know. And I think it's tough when the GM, the guy whose decisions all come down to him, and he said it again this morning with Sean and RJ, he was tough on them. We're going to be tough back. It's hard when the guy who wants to be in charge of everything isn't the smartest or the hardest working guy in your building. I'm going to be in charge of everything. I'm going to make all the final decisions. But I'm not going to work harder than anybody, and I'm not football smarter than a lot of people in here. You know, it comes back to that. And whenever we have losing seasons, a lot of the conversations do come back to that owner's and GM's desk, which apparently is how he wants it, because he gets all the credit when they win.
That's absolutely right, yeah.
All right, it's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. Play them all. Vote on which one we like the best, and that's the G-Bag of the Day. Yeah, it's just Washington and Detroit there in the NFC that haven't got back to the conference title game, so we're still waiting to really give you the credit, Jerry. I know that 12-13 win regular season felt mighty nice. Executive of the Year and all that was cool. It's a good award. But you know where legacies are established. You know what the wins are that really matter. So go ahead and start doing that. I know the hyper-motivated and inspired Jerry Jones that took over this football team, whose heart beat for success, both, you know, in the margins of money and on the football field. That guy moved mountains to bring the Cowboys 3 Super Bowls. I ain't seen that guy in a while. Time now for the G-Bag of the Day, Lucius. Where are we going?
Well, let's see. Look like Daniel Jones won again.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Daniel Jones for his little trip on the field.
In Espanol.
Yeah. Long field.
Sounded like this. It was a close-up. He was actually mic'd up, and this is what it sounded like. That is so corny, bro.
Back in the day cartoons there.
Here we go. La verdad que un gran juego. Va por tierra otra vez, pero el engaño es con Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones se quiere ir. Se puede ir. Y se fue. No.
No.
Se cayó. Se tropezó. Vio la zona festiva y estaba celebrando.
Estaba Celebrando. He was.
No.
Man.
No.
Celebrando.
Right. Would you rather be Daniel Jones?
Nope.
You're in the clear and you just fall down. Or would you rather be Buda Baker and for the first time in your life get caught from behind by DK Metcalf?
I'd rather be Buda Baker.
Buda was mic'd up.
Yeah, I'd rather. Oh, you want to talk about Buda being mic'd up?
Do you have that?
Let's go to number two.
Hey, free left, free left.
Hey, get through.
Got it.
How'd he catch my ass?
How'd he catch me?
Well,
what the?
You'll see. Pretty impressive. I'd rather be Buddha. 4 years and $59 million contract that man signed. I don't know if Daniel Jones is coming anywhere close to that with his second NFL contract.
And he's got a butt fumble moment. It lasts forever, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was you know, and Daniel Jones just way more embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what Eric Metcalf, DK Metcalf, here's what it sounds like. This cyborg just coming down.
I like it.
I like where this is headed. This is,
yeah. This is it's like, yeah, Gallagher, man. I just got all these little tools.
Buda Baker nominated for talking to, for the audio?
That whole situation. Yeah, okay. That whole situation, man. Let's see. You guys heard of a log splitter? You know what a log splitter is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah.
You got one?
Yeah.
Oh, not the big machine one. No, not the big machine one. No, sir.
Oh, you
no.
Sound like my dad. Yeah, I got one, too. LaPaul, come here.
I borrowed one.
That's me.
I've borrowed one.
Come
before.
Here, boy. Yeah. Here's my log splitter right here. I had them 15 years ago. So it's a log splitter, man. This guy tried to steal a log splitter out of a little property and whatnot, and he got caught. And here's how he got caught.
County Sheriff's Office deputies didn't need to dust for prints while investigating a recent theft. They found the suspect's finger at the scene. Oh. Listen to this story. Someone called the Sheriff's Office yesterday to report a stolen log splitter. The victim noticed tools and other items at the end of the driveway. That is where he spotted the suspect's finger and cell phone. When deputies saw the finger for themselves, they called area hospitals hoping to find a patient missing a finger. They were in luck. Detectives finding Hugh Sieber was dropped off at Methodist Medical Center with a missing digit. Detective Sean Flynn met him there, bringing the finger with him. He was charged with felony theft of property.
He said it's a match.
Wait.
Got a fingerprint you here. You stand still, up. You stand over there. I'm going to do it right
here. I'm sure this is yours, sir. I'm very sure.
Yeah.
They still charged him?
Yes.
Like no. He learned his lesson, right?
Yes.
He learned his lesson, bro.
You go to his house. You'd be like, look, here's the thing. We have your cell phone. Here's your finger. And can we get the log splitter back?
Yeah.
Like, tough break. Did you learn your lesson? Here's your cell phone and here's your finger back. Like, I'm good. You don't have to arrest me.
I think the Cowboys got an accountability problem. Too many people like you around the building. We're fine. Didn't tackle the guy.
He lost his finger and his phone.
He was embarrassed on TV. We lost the game. We got to tell the truth on him, too.
Okay, all right.
No, that's why you got to know a good veterinarian, though, Jeff. I learned that watching mob movies.
Mob movie.
I got one. Yeah, I know a guy.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Hefner. Like that. You're going to get in the world of crime. You got to build yourself a network, man. You can't be depending on modern medicine and hospitals.
Well, you keep one on call. You keep a doctor on call.
You can't leave your cell phone. Even if you can't find the finger, you don't leave your phone at the scene.
No, you don't. You got to go get your phone, bro. You can deny the finger. That ain't mine. That ain't mine. You can deny the finger.
Cut off.
Are you pointing at me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pointing at you with his own finger.
I got one more real quick. How about that? Mike Tyson made an EDM song, electric dance music, you know, for the festivals, whenever we can come back to festivals and whatnot, when the Rona is over, the COVID. Yeah, check this out. See if you like the Mike Tyson dance song.
I'm Mike Tyson.
I've been the wildest, I've been the craziest, I've been the outrageous.
The vicious, the most destructive fighter that ever lived. I'm just knocking people out. I just put you to sleep. I'm Mike Tyson. Lend me your ears or I will eat them off.
Hey, I will eat them off.
I'm into it, man. Yeah. Yeah. I think if I was the EDM goer kind of guy, I'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like all their other songs. This one just has Mike Tyson quotes in it.
Yeah, that's all it does. Watch out, here comes something. And then it goes boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I'm into it.
I probably should have did that part.
I like it. Yeah. I saw Mike Tyson's trainer said he's worried that he could kill a person. Oh. He's hitting so hard again. He's like, yeah, he's hitting like
yeah, you see what he was doing to the back, the pad man. The pad man was getting knocked out up in there.
Yeah. Is it our two-time champion Daniel Jones in Espanol with Buda Baker audio added? Guy trying to steal a log splitter lost his finger, got arrested, and went to the hospital.
Oh, wait. How'd you line that up? My bad. Hold on. You said Daniel Jones and Buda Baker together?
Yeah.
No, they're two different situations.
Two different situations. Yeah, Mike Tyson made an EDM song. Is it Daniel Jones, Buda Baker, log splitter, Mike Tyson?
It's Daniel Jones audio.
I like the log splitter story an awful lot. Yeah, I'll vote Daniel Jones, though. Lucius?
Yeah, I like the log splitter because I didn't know log splitters existed. Like I said, I thought I was a log splitter of the house because Pop said, I got them logs out there, buddy. Go on out there, boy.
Dude, I did a lot of that, too. The worst words of my youth were, yeah, I'm going to go pick up a cord of wood.
Boy.
I knew what that meant.
Boy. You want some Jordans, don't you? You want some Jordans, huh? You better split that wood.
The splitting, the stacking, it was nonstop.
It was cold.
Yeah. And then the winter came, you had to go out there. Every day after school, I had to go get wood for the wood stove.
I don't know about the wood stove. I don't know about all that, but you probably had better food than I had.
Yeah. Broadus, you have a decisive vote here to cast.
I'll go with Mike Tyson.
By a score of 2-1. They've done it again. Daniel Jones in Espanol continues to be your G-Bank of the Day champion. It's 3-time. Tune in tomorrow. As they'll go for 4. Brian Broaddus's daily content's coming up next. Where are we going with that, sir?
Should the Cowboys look at this defensive player? We'll talk about that next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. Time now for Brian Broaddus's daily content. Here he is, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. I'm going to throw something out there for you guys, and I kind of have an idea where you might go with this one, but it might be a way to add a player now that could help you in the future.
I'm going to try and
make it in a way where I'm not going to have to give up my first, but I'm going to give up my second to do this. And the player I'm talking
about. You're messing with my draft picks.
Well, hear me out on this one, Jeffrey.
Nope.
Okay.
Is it Quinnen Williams?
It's Quinnen Williams.
Okay, well, mess with my draft picks a little bit then. Yeah, okay, I like where your head's at.
I'm not interested in giving up the one because the one is going to be probably a top five. And to me, that's not where I'm going here. Even though Quinnen Williams in 2019 was the third overall pick himself. He's 23 years old. His contract situation this year is he's making his cap numbers at 7.4, which would be you would have to take the salary part of it and you prorate that. I mean, the Jets have paid quite a bit of that already. But in 21, he makes $9 million. In 22, he makes $10 million. And then you hold a fifth-year option on him for that. Okay?
Okay.
Are those reasonable numbers for you first off for a 23-year-old defensive tackle?
Those are big numbers unless he is becoming, which based on what Jets writers and people I know around there are saying, that he is starting to become what they were hoping he would be. And I don't. Here's what throws me off about this. If he's becoming the player you thought you were picking at number 3 overall, and you're a team that has very few good young players, why are you trying to move him? I don't totally get it, but if I'm the Cowboys, I think I'm willing to gamble on his big salary for a position group that I have nothing at right now.
Right.
I mean, I think in this last game, it's like every week there's a different guy. I think this last week, their best D tackle might have been Neville Gallimore. You know? It's like every week, it's like, was it Justin Hamilton this week? And was it – and I think Quinnen Williams would definitely become your best defensive tackle and hopefully become a very, very good one.
Yeah, I went back and watched Quinnen Williams play. And I was – because I was interested in what he looks like as a player. And to me, I was – when I watched him at Alabama, and I know, Jeff, when you studied him at Alabama – and he was a dominant player.
He was just stronger than everybody.
He is so much stronger than everybody else. And that's his game for the Jets. You know, it's not, you don't see a lot of pass rush moves. You don't see it. The escape for him is a lot of, is more about power than it is, you know, working around a guy with a swim move or a rip or, you know, using his hands really, really well. So I wonder, I don't see a guy, I was expecting more from him. And I went back and did these last few games, and they're right. The Jets writers are right. He is a much better player now, because when you go back and look at him, the San Francisco game was a really good game for him because he was able to take advantage of their guards and he was able to push. And then, you know, he gets the quarterbacks in the pocket. Nobody's really moving on him. Garoppolo doesn't move. Mullen doesn't move. So all of a sudden now he's able to kind of get sacks just by through power. But, you know, what you didn't see in the middle part of his work is that explosiveness. You know, and now there's a side of me that's like, okay, is this really the answer that you want to get into? Is this really the guy that, you know, is going to be? When this guy wants to come off and play, he can come off and play. The problem is he doesn't always want to do that. And I wonder if it has to do with the team he plays for,
right,
more than anything. Because there are flashes. And again, we go back, we talk about that general, the flashes of players. You know, and you're thinking like, okay, you see him do it. And then there's those five or six plays where he's doing absolutely nothing, you know. And I really, really worry about this guy, his overall consistency as a player.
See, and I think that has to affect big time. And that would make it like, if you're pretending that we're in charge of the Cowboys, I would know after you tell me that, I would say, hey, whatever our offer is, we're not winning this. Because this is a former number three overall pick that people loved in the draft. There's going to be a front office that's going to give up like a late one or a two. And to me, you're drawing the picture of a guy that big salary and giving you a second round pick for inconsistent and not sure that he's really going to be a pass rusher. I think for a guy that I loved when he was in the draft, you're drawing a case for me to be like, look, if they're giving him away for a mid-round pick, okay, but I don't think that I'd give up a second rounder for the picture you're drawing.
Not the Cowboys' second rounder where it's trending towards right now, but yeah, they have to do something. This run defense is historically awful, and I would be aggressive at it. Everybody knows how you can whoop the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, because when his name was mentioned, I was really excited about it. And then the more I studied him, the more I became like, do I really want to do this? You know,
well, and that's why a team might not be willing to give up a one. Teams give up ones for star players who have a little bit of control left at a somewhat decent salary.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, how do you find a way to get help now? Okay, you get help now by, you know, making a trade, getting him in here, and then he helps you in the future. You know, that kind of situation. But I have my doubts, and if you're right, there's kind of a back and forth right now if you talk to people in the league if the Jets are really trading him or not. But I've always been under the assumption where if I hear about it through something else, that they're trying to move on from
possible.
The guy. Yeah.
Do they hate the Cowboys still because of how the Jamal Adams thing went?
You know, that's a really good question, because they were adamant that they would never deal with Stephen Jones again.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. They were totally adamant about that. But if you're, you know, but if you're the Jets, do you consider taking Dallas's two? Even, I mean, you mentioned
it's the best pick. Yeah, I have no problem. There's 31 teams. We're going to hate some of y'all, but if you have the best offer, that's fine. If you don't believe in that player, you're like, sweet, they gave us a two for Quinnen Williams, a guy who we were way too high on.
Yeah. I'm like in that mode right now where I see a guy that plays in and out. You know, it's like some plays he's really good, other days he's not, other plays he's not. That's a bothering to me right now.
How about this question out of the 682 that he brings up? Let's not gamble on people anymore. We've been losing a lot on project players the last 10 years. I don't think Williams is a project player, but there's a gamble in there, isn't there?
Well, he was a top 10 player on their board, General. So that part of the evaluation is you can hang
your
hat on.
He's got all those traits.
Yeah, he does.
But he's not putting it together. That's where the risk is.
If you sit down and watch him play, you will see these things I'm talking about. But I think they had a bad run with evaluations on the pro side. I think we were all happy about the draft that they had, right? I mean, with the Jeff, were we happy with the draft that they had, or am I speaking out of turn here?
No, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so if they're evaluating this guy as a top 10 player, it's the pro guys that I'm having a little questions about right now. When they're, you know, when it comes to the evaluation of player, they had the good get of going out and getting Quinn, but now they, you know, they've proven to me they added 3-4 guys that were really bad. Really bad.
Yeah, I mean the Cowboys, they've really gone up and down in both. I think like your college guys, you'd be really happy say 2016. I know running back at number 4, whatever. Well, I don't know, because also Jalen, but Malik Collins, that was a hit. Anthony Brown, Dak, those are big hits. Kayvon in the 6th is a hit. But overall, Gallup was good. Like I don't think the Cowboys, this last year, people universally love their draft. The ones before it, I think they're in the spot they're in now, lacking depth because they didn't have very good drafts the last 2 or 3 years leading up to this one.
Their strengths appear to be offensive line, man. They were nailing those.
Right.
Wow, Collins nailed it.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I just, like I said, I'm looking for if I could flip not a first round pick, but flip a second round pick, but I'm not sure. You'll hear this guy's name mentioned a bunch. I know on the fan text, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people saying, what about Quinnen Williams? What about Quinnen Williams? I don't necessarily think that might be the best path to go because I don't see a consistent player there. I see a very up and down guy.
214 says, I'm out. I want motor and effort guys. I'll take less talented guys that give a crap and love football. And I think there's something to be said for that. But there's also
balance there. I need a lot of talent. I need really good players too.
Talent, motor. Mm-hmm. And is it an excuse for you, Jeff, if a guy's really struggling to be consistent because he's on a bad football team? We see the effects right now with the Cowboys. It's hard to give effort as you're just getting throttled.
I think the easy thing when you're analyzing is to say, no, that's not okay. I want to see your character in adversity. But I think when you're being realistic and you're evaluating a 22-year-old on a football team that's going absolutely nowhere, I'd be more understanding of it. The key with stuff like that is talking to the guy. You know, I think that's one of the most important things in sports is having guys in your organization that can sit in that room, whether it's your sports psychologist or whatever, that's like, okay, now that we've talked to him, tell me what you think about him. You know, because if you're in a terrible spot, anybody can lack a little bit of fire at work. Anybody, especially somebody who's 22 years old. You want to get to know that player and then have your people whose job it is in the organization tell me, all right, if he's not in that situation, what's he going to be like?
Yeah, I think that stuff matters big time. Even for people with question marks on their personality or their character, whatever you want to call it, sometimes those guys have so much pride or determination or, you know, have other things. Well, maybe they have some poor judgment, but yeah, the mental makeup guy, a part of the evaluation, I love that. And I love your Autoflex Leasing fan text feedback coming through here. Please leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous right here in the G-Bag Nation, like Elvis in Midland, Texas over there says, but, Will McClay is a drafting genius, said Jeff Kavanaugh. Ooh, he's coming after you.
Oh, you coming after me? Yeah, I like
him. He was on a roll. Will McClay was on a massive roll.
I like Will McClay, but Will McClay would, I think, even tell you that when you reach the point where their roster is right this second, he's not above criticism. Yeah. People who take whatever you say about a player, a GM, a coach, or whatever, and then years later are like, remember when you said that? Well, at the time, they were doing great. And then at the time they're not doing great, we'll talk about how they're not doing great.
I think if you talk to Will on a weekly basis, he would be more honest about this team. I really do. About the assessment of it. I really do, yeah.
How honest was Jerry Jones? He got real with Sean and RJ this morning. You'll hear some of the audio highlights of what he had to say next in the G-Bag Nation.